Hello, LifeSite fans. Listen, we've got a really special thing for you. As you can see, I'm standing right here in front of St. Peter's, and steps from me right here is the Congregation for Clergy, the Dicastery for Clergy. And you can see here we have Father Frank Pavone with us. And there is, of course, a horror that happened just before Christmas. And that is that Father got the news from the media that he was removed from the priesthood. There was an immediate reaction from pro-lifers everywhere, and particularly in America. In fact, at LifeSite, I was in Germany when this came down, and it was 4 in the morning. And immediately we made a reaction and tried to tell the world what was going on. It was unbelievable. We started a petition at LifeSite, and 45,000 of you signed this petition to Pope Francis, telling him he must overturn this laicization. And Father, there's so many people supporting you, and we're here to deliver this petition. We've been praying for you, and we'll continue that. I want to talk to you a little bit, Father, about what's been going on for you. I know this has been very difficult for you, but if you wouldn't mind just recounting this story, because most people, it's so hard to believe. Because the decision from the Dicastery for Clergy apparently happened November the 9th, but you didn't hear about it. Please tell us the story from how it happened for you.
Well, John Henry, thank you very much. First of all, let me thank you, and let me thank the over 45,000 people who signed that petition. And I want to make an assurance for all of them. I know your support, your love, and it's not just about me. It's about the priesthood of Jesus Christ, and it's about the pro-life movement, and it's about the unborn. This is an action against all of us, not just me. And I want to assure the signers of this petition that I am remembering you in prayer each and every day. And I will continue to do so. And I look forward to staying in contact with you. I imagine, John Henry, that many of those folks are already in our Priests for Life family and in communication with us. If they're not, I certainly want to invite them to do so as we move forward here, because I'm not going anywhere. And that's where, of course, thanks to people like you and LifeSite News, we ensure that the ministry God has given me will continue. Now, the story in a nutshell has been fighting for my vocation, because my vocation to the priesthood and also to full-time dedication to defending the unborn those are two aspects of my vocation that are very compatible. And that has been the battle that I've been engaged in. Not about any wrongdoing or anything like that, but about the question of, can a priest live out in the church a vocation to defending the unborn on a full-time basis? And that is what Cardinal O'Connor of New York recognized as a big yes when he gave me permission to devote my life and my ministry to saving the unborn. That is what Bishop John Yonta of the Diocese of Amarillo said a big yes to when he invited me there to actually form a community of priests who would be devoted full-time to the unborn. And I made public vows to dedicate my life and my ministry to the defense of the unborn. As it turned out, we discerned that the structure wasn't exactly the right structure, but anybody else out there who's tried to start a religious community, give me a call and we can compare notes, and I can assure the rest of you that that's no easy task. But then Bishop Michael Sheridan of Colorado Springs said a big yes to my calling to do this work in pro-life. And in fact, John Henry, so has the Vatican. And this is the fascinating thing about this, that although there have been bishops, and next to me, I should point out, what is this gigantic stack of papers and notebooks? This is the story of what has happened. This is the long answer to your question. And I'm the one who's been living through this battle. This represents 21 years of appeals to Rome and battles back and forth with some bishops who have tried to restrict this work. But I assure you, brothers and sisters, that this is not so much about them against me. This is about, and John Henry, you know this well, and you document this well, this is about a division within the church between those who are ready to acknowledge the supreme battle for the unborn that must be a key priority, must be the priority, and those that do not, and those that are more interested in watering down the issue. That's what it all boils down to. And I just want to read one statement because this was a report that was given to that very office that you're standing near right now, the Congregation for Clergy, where you're going to bring this petition. They were given this report. And John Henry, this has not appeared yet in any of the news reports about my story, but I want to read it for you. This was the result of a visitation that was done on Priests for Life and on my work and my ministry back in 2012. And the report submitted to the Congregation for Clergy said, in part, although Father Pavone is a diocesan priest, it would seem that his vocation has shifted from the diocesan priesthood to the worldwide cause for the defense of human life, an endeavor clearly supported by the church. Now, the Vatican ruled in my favor multiple times until, as you pointed out a number of weeks ago, and that's because certain bishops have been calling for me to be removed from the priesthood because they don't like the implications of the message of Priests for Life, which makes a lot of them look bad because they're not stepping up and defending the unborn as they should. But I can assure you that at that very building you're standing in front of now, there are high-placed cardinals, because I know this for a fact, who have told the Holy Father this is the wrong decision and I should simply be allowed to go to another bishop who supports my ministry just as I have been able to do in the past. And that is why there is a road here to the restoration of my priesthood. And this petition is one aspect of that effort, once again, for which I'm very grateful.
Another thing that happened in Rome almost simultaneous with your laicization was a really tragic case came to light, and that is of this Father Rupnik. Father Rupnik, of course, the priest of the Society of Jesus, very famous all over Rome. In fact, for most of the world, he was the one who did the images, rather ugly, I thought, but nonetheless, modern images of our Lord for World Youth Day. He's a famous mosaic one commissioned by Pope Francis over and over and over again. But this man has been found guilty of sexually abusing nuns, and now that's even through an ecclesial court found guilty. But in addition to that, he committed the crime in canon law of taking them in confession. And so that carries with it a penalty of automatic excommunication. So he was automatically excommunicated, and then unbelievably that excommunication was lifted right away by Pope Francis. So he, with that past, is still a priest, and you've been laicized. And that's why, for the Romans, this is such an outrage. Pro-life Rome is just stunned, because your cases sort of came at the same time. And in one case, you're getting picked on for being pro-life and laicized. In the other case, is a huge moral offense, offensive not only to the church, but to the whole wide world, and he's not even laicized. And the excommunication is lifted right away. This is unbelievable. Father, I don't know if you had a comment on that, but that's what's going on over here.
Well, I thank you for bringing that up, and it saddens me to see that and to know that there are these cases. Just the cases in and of themselves are a cause of great sadness and pain for the body of Christ, and we pray for everybody involved. But yeah, I think what it points out, you know, and I always try to be respectful and humble in regard to the church authorities here. But they have to explain to the people under their charge what is going on. You know, sometimes people just jump right away to, oh, but they have the authority. You have to, you know, obey, respect the authority. They have the authority, but this is not just about authority. This is about leadership. This is about pastoral leadership. This is about caring for the body of Christ. This is about encouraging one another. And even if the decision of a church authority in and of itself is correct, it's not enough to be correct. When you exercise authority in any position, and I try to live this out as I lead and continue to lead the various pro-life ministries that I'm in charge of, you make a decision that impacts people. You should have enough respect for those people to explain that decision. You should have enough respect for those people to get their input before that decision is made and to respect their experience and expertise. You should have enough respect, furthermore, if you make a decision and you see that it has had harmful consequences on the people that you serve, to go to them and, if not to reverse the decision, at least to communicate. I have seen just a total breakdown of that, and a lot of the history that's in this gigantic pile of papers, documents, and appeals speaks about how the Congregation for Clergy and various personnel there over the years, and you know, it's the old saying we also say in politics, personnel is policy, but so many of these personnel have just had a deaf ear. You know, they pretend to go through a certain legal process, but then they just have a deaf ear to the people of God. That's a failure of leadership, and a very big one at that. So I know that many people are pointing out these contradictions, these inconsistencies, and I would just respectfully say to the leadership, please listen to the sheep and respond. Communicate to us and try to accompany us in this journey, because it's very painful for the people of God.
Father, many people don't know your past, and your past is one of working directly with Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict, the late Pope Benedict. Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, when Cardinal O'Connor decided to let me be a full-time pro-life leader as a priest, that was in 1993, he knew the great potential of the Priest for Life movement, because so many in the church want to see their clergy speaking up more about abortion and healing the wounds and mobilizing the people for action. Now, he gave me that permission in 93. Just 2 years later, John Paul II issued Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life, the greatest statement the church has made about abortion and about the unborn and about the dignity of life at all stages. That really propelled our ministry. And then 2 years after that, the Pontifical Council for the Family, which helps to foster and oversee the work of the whole Catholic Church in regard to pro-life, asked me to come there and work with them. I was still able to lead Priests for Life. And so I went there in 1997 and worked at the Council for the Family. And that was, of course, with the great leadership in those years of St. John Paul II on this very topic. Those were very fruitful years. Our ministry grew internationally. I was able to help the Holy See to extend and expand and implement the teachings of Evangelium Vitae in as much as that was the work of the council. Then when Benedict XVI was elected, I was privileged also to serve on the Pontifical Academy for Life. That's another entity. Of course, you've reported a lot on it because it's gone downhill in recent years. But during the years that I was there, it was a very strong academic institution promoting and fostering research that helps the church, again, articulate the teaching on abortion and on the dignity of all life. So I was there for meetings and presentations and interacting all the time with the Holy See under Pope Benedict. The other work that we've done under both of these popes, and even into the present under Pope Francis, has been for the Holy See mission to the United Nations. Now, we all know the problems at the UN when it comes to the issues of the dignity of life, but we gotta be there fighting for the right to life. And so we are a non-governmental organization, Priests for Life is, and also we are an organization at the Organization of American States, which is another similar international body, and pro-life battles rage in those arenas. We help, though, even to this day, and this is what's so ironic, we help even to this day the Holy See's mission to the UN. So one of the questions I need to ask respectfully of Pope Francis is, now that you've done this to me, do you want us to withdraw our help, you know, that we're still giving you at the United Nations in the cause for life? And also at the Secretariat of State, We worked together with Cardinal Parolin. And just recently, we helped organizing a conference in Rome of Catholic NGOs. So it's like people knowing all of this. And by the way, final point, I have talked face-to-face with Pope Francis on four or five occasions. And he has been encouraging every time. It was, I think, in the second meeting that we had, he said, Rachel's Vineyard, because Rachel's Vineyard is part of Priests for Life ministry. And he said, that is such an excellent work. You go forward with that. And so he encouraged me in many, many ways. So it brings me back to my original point that this is not about them against me. This is about a church divided within itself. There's a polarization. It's political. It's ideological. Friends, we've got to be on the side of life. And I thank you for your support being on the side of the fact that I should be able to serve both as a priest and as a full-time pro-life leader. And if not, why not? And there's a lot of questions that they, the leadership, just have not answered.
Amen to that, Father. We are going to deliver this petition, 45,000 signatures, and we are going to bring this also with prayer in our hearts that they heed the voice of the faithful. Father, can you send us off to deliver this petition with a prayer, please?
I would be happy to. And as I say this prayer, let me assure our viewers, most of whom I know are faithful Catholics themselves, the Pope has closed a certain door in my face. I'm not going off to another denomination. I'm not rebelling against the church that we love. I'm not going to go pretend I'm a priest when I'm not. I'm going to stand there at the door knocking. You are helping me knock by having signed this petition. John Henry, you are helping me knock by delivering the petition. And we are exercising all the other steps too that the church gives us to do this. And I will continue knocking at that door. And if Pope Francis doesn't open it, there will be a next pope. And you can be sure I'll be there at the same door asking, please let me continue serving the church as a priest. Meanwhile, I will be serving vigorously in my full-time pro-life leadership. Lord, we ask you to bless your people and bless your church. Give us, Lord, the spirit of faith, the spirit of love, the spirit of service, especially awaken within your people, O God, the service to the unborn, which is service to you, the witness to the dignity of their lives, which is a witness to your kingship, O God, over human life, and enable us to heal the wounds of those who have had abortions. Lord, bless all this good work and take away anything that would hinder it. We pray fervently and with great trust in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.